Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home.
Garland upstairs. Oh!
Sexton inside. Oh. A thunderous dunk. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Kaz Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The NBA Draft Lottery is just 3 weeks away, and while we've been focused on the Cavs lately, the NBA playoffs have been off to an incredibly exciting start. So today we're going to take a small look at the playoffs, of course discuss some Cavs tie-ins, and with me today is my co-host to discuss this all, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. Got a late start getting ready for the podcast, but we're hitting levels everywhere we need to hit levels. I didn't miss punch anything, and we're recording. So, you know, we're going to call that a win in this country.
Look, you came up clutch. It's not always going to be ideal situations. You're not always going to have your full roster available, like a lot of these NBA teams. But you got to make do with what you have, right?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. You caught me mid-sip of my root beer. You have a root beer recently, Justin?
I have, yes, I have.
It is candy in a bottle. It is candy in a bottle. So freaking good.
I have root beer basically only when I go to A&W, because I'll go through the drive-thru and get...
Are A&W chains like a big thing there? Because I've only seen a few in my day.
Not a huge thing, but they do good lettuce wraps for their burgers, so that's why I choose them over other options.
A gluten-free lifestyle.
Living that gluten-free life, man. Speaking of lifestyle and culture... The Miami Heat swept out of the playoffs, and this is actually where I want to start, because I think Miami is a great example of what a lot of people are struggling with right now, which is how to evaluate this season, how to evaluate the bubble. We've talked about the issues that the Cavs had with injuries, and just getting a read on what this NBA season is and where these teams stand. I found to be incredibly difficult. What do you
I
make?
Need you to be having, I need you to be having more fun with this.
Broad season,
baby. The Bubble Boys, baby.
Jimmy Bubbles.
Get out of here.
All right.
Get out of here, boys.
Well, they did win as many playoff games as the Cavs this year. So if you wanted to take a step towards Heat culture.
They probably deserve the same amount of respect in the national media, says this unbiased observer.
I think you raise a valid point. What do you make of it? Do you actually go the bubble fraud route when you're talking about the Miami Heat, or is there a little bit of room for nuance here?
Not all the way, but a little. I mean, they shot the absolute crap out of the ball. They blitzed the Bucks, who were in the middle of an absolute crisis, and then beat a Celtics team that nobody thought was, you know, a finals-worthy team in one of the worst Easts in recent memory. They got a superstar level play out of Bam. They got superstar level play out of Jimmy. They got not trade for James Harden, maybe kind of play out of Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, was not that like that during the regular season. So, you know, everyone has their Booby Gibson moment. I'm happy Tyler had his in some clutch minutes. But you know, all things must end. And I think that, you know, that I couldn't get past the fact that last year they were like a 47 win team or something like that, or on pace to be. And I thought that's about what they were this year. And that's what they're going to be the next couple of years, unless they get a legit superstar.
Mm-hmm. You're not counting on Kawhi. I can't do the pun. I can't do the Kawhi-ami beach. There it goes.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
You're no Steve Jones, that's for damn sure. I don't know, man. Like, unless they do, that changes the dynamic. And that's the nice thing about having Heat culture, a.k.a. South Beach, is that you have people that want to go there. And, you know, it's such a glamorous destination, let alone, you know, the organizational reputation they have. So, like, they're always in the game. So it's like... It kind of annoys me when people are like, yeah, Pat Riley always has one, you know, a couple moves in his back pocket. I'm like, well, no crap.
Well, sometimes the moves that he has in his back pocket is giving massive contracts to James Johnson, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. Sometimes you get lucky.
Bringing in Danny Granger as the replacement or the guy to help bring Miami over the top again and help out LeBron win another ring there. That didn't work out too well.
So yeah, I guess my general point is, I think they're pretty good, and I still thought they were pretty good. And I thought, you know, like in a lot of ways, they're kind of a try-hard team. And try-hard teams normally get beaten by better talent. And now that the Bucks have, you know, brought some wipes to the bathroom. You know, they're doing all right now. They're not pooping down their leg anymore in the playoffs. And so, they're able to, you know, and the talent, clearly it wasn't close. I mean, you had so many guys, like the weak points in Miami became very obvious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the empty gym stuff, I just can't think it didn't matter when they were, like, shooting the cover off the ball and making it impossible for teams to hang. Because I actually saw, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep crapping on the Heat, but I actually saw someone in the Heat Twitter say that they actually shot the three just as well before the bubble. And I'm like, yeah, how many good three-point shooting teams without a ton of star power do we see get their water shut off when it matters?
Yeah.
Like, that is the norm. The norm is not to stay as good at three-point shooting in the playoffs. We even saw this happen in the 2016 Warriors, you know, like where once you threw length and scheme at those kind of players, they start to make less of an impact. So it was like that is not the silver bullet that you think it is, Heat fans. So I just think they're pretty good. That's what they're going to be. And they're locked into their best player, who is pretty much the reason they're pretty good. Or I'm sorry, second best player if you're a huge Bam fan. But like half of their core of their, you know, their superstar duo is like, how old is Jimmy? Like 34?
Yeah, it's. I mean, he just got outscored by Bryn Forbes in a playoff series. Like, all the context you want to throw into it, that can't happen, right?
And you know what that reminds me of? And this will actually put people down kind of a dark road. But remember when Steph was out rebounding Tristan in the finals that one year?
Yeah.
And it was like a big stat people were using. It's like, we could contextualize it all we wanted. And we had good reasons why.
Oh yeah, Steph might have been doing it. I will still like, rant that Tristan was playing 20 minutes, Steph was playing 40, Tristan was hurt, blah 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 blah.
But with that said, all you need to know is if that's the stat, ain't going well for you.
No, it is not going well. And the reason I wanted to start here is because I think the question a lot of people are going to have this year and even last year is, did the best team win? And I don't think that this season, we talked about asterisk last year, and we talked about it a little bit going into these playoffs, but I'm not even convinced the 16 best teams made the playoffs. Like, forget conference talk.
Yeah, I don't know how often that happens anyway, but like, it's impossible to say. And I certainly think the seeding is borked.
Right, and you look at it now, like, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that Suns-Lakers is the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think that's probably how it would have played out if the Lakers didn't get hurt. I think those teams would have made it there. And even in that series, you have Chris Paul getting hurt, LeBron's hurt, Anthony Davis is hurt. Like, there are so many injuries impacting these playoffs that I think people are going to have a really tough time in an NBA that's always changing and evolving. I think people are going to have a tough time next year figuring out, okay, things are getting back to normal finally. Where do all these teams stand? Because you look at even this Miami-Milwaukee series. You have last season where, the Bucks were not as good of a team. They brought in Jrue Holiday. They made improvements. Giannis is an improved player. I think Bud actually did a better job in this series than he has in the past. Like,
no doubt about it.
I think
the offense looked so much more sophisticated in how they were generating their looks.
Not only that, he kind of recognized Bam isn't a confident shooter to begin with, and he had a busted up shooting hand, right? So they completely ignored him. They said, okay, we are going to dare you to take those shots. And that's the first time I've ever seen him really game plan for a player. He actually went out of his way to say, okay, we're going to not just stick with what we always do traditionally and hope that it works this time. They made an adjustment. And all that context aside, I think even looking at last year, the Milwaukee Bucks were the team that had a split locker room. They did not want to proceed with the bubble at one point. George Hill talked about how he didn't want to be there. It wasn't a unified roster because of the shooting that had taken place in Milwaukee. So I think there's just so much context that's going to go into these next 2 years. And we've talked about it with the Cavs. Like, the fact that in 72 games, you had 114 missed games from Garland, Sexton, Love, and Nance this year, compared to 24 missed games from them over 65 games the previous year. Like, everything is out of whack. And to me, it's going to be really interesting because...
Can I say this, though?
Go ahead.
I think this playoff... Like, seeding be damned. Like, I'm not super worried about... how far teams go in the postseason as much as like what I'm seeing. And I do believe that these playoffs are closer to reality than anything we've seen since before.
Oh, I disagree.
That fateful, hold, let me get there. Mm-hmm. Before that fateful game against, that Utah game where they walked off. Because to me, it's like, these are close to normal schedule conditions for playoff basketball.
Yeah.
They're traveling home and away. Fans are in the arena. And I think that injuries are the biggest reason that there's a wrench in this. But I will say this, every season, I mean, maybe you don't have AD and Embiid go down. Mm-hmm. But like you and I actually don't know. I had a crazy day. Do we have any more on Embiid?
He's doubtful.
Doubtful. Okay. Either way, like, but like, you know, even if both of them, you know, completely change the tenor of a series, like there's normally at least one series in a legitimate way that gets messed up from an injury. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, like I'm seeing Suns Lakers and I go, yeah, that's really, really elite playoff basketball. And I know more about the Suns and more about the Lakers in a way that informs me about that roster moving forward. Whereas so much of bubble play and this entire season was, well, this is their fifth game in 7 days and they're getting COVID tested 47 times before they get to the arena. Like it just, this feels closer. Maybe it's not right exactly, but it feels closer to me. Do you disagree still?
I do disagree because, and I know you said seeding be damned as kind of a qualifier here. The thing about the bubble was we at least had a regular, a normal regular season up to that point that established the seeding. Like the best teams were up at the top and then everybody went into the bubble with equal conditions. I think it benefited teams like Miami and guys that were or teams that were relying on role players because those guys are going to perform better under those situations. There isn't travel, there isn't crowds to contend with. The sight lines were great, and that's why you can get a really good shooting performance from a Miami. But when you look at this year, the seeding is so out of whack because the guys have gone through so much this year. The entire league has been dealing with tons of injuries, and then you look at it like the Mavericks go up 2-0 and then Luka's shoulder and neck acts up and all of a sudden it is a 2-2 series. And I think you got to give some credit to the Clippers, but at the same time an injury helped open that door.
The Clippers again, like, bro, I'm not saying injuries aren't a factor here. I'm saying that ultimately this basketball is closer to playoff basketball because guys get banged up.
It is 100%. It is
100%. I'm sorry, like Luka's playing, he's definitely hurt. But also, you know, the reason they were up 2-0 is because they were shooting the absolute cover off the ball.
Yeah.
And like at like completely unsustainable rates. And then that crashed to earth a bit and Kawhi started playing with his food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or stopped playing with his food. Sorry, Giannis. So like, I don't know, man. Like, I get it. And like, ultimately, I think if you are someone who is going to say, ha ha ha, the Lakers got bounced in the first round, if that came to pass,
yeah,
then it's not real, then it's not normal. Like, you shouldn't evaluate it that way. But if you're just watching the games and saying team A versus team B, team X versus team Y, I feel like I'm learning a lot about these teams in a way that is meaningful moving forward. Whereas last year I felt like there was so much noise.
I think that's actually a really good point because you did have kind of these breakout bubble stars that performed.
TJ Warren was dropping 50 bombs every other game.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't score a point this season, Carter, to your point.
Well, that's a little unfair.
Maybe just a little bit. But like, I do think it almost reflects what Kobe Altman had said in his year-end press conference when he talked about, yeah, we don't really have a great feel for where this team is, but we have good data points on the young core because those guys played more than the rest of the team. We got to evaluate them under certain circumstances. And I think that might be the case as well. Like, even the Phoenix Suns as an example. Like, I've been super high on Mikal Bridges, and you can tell he's not quite ready for this stage. He's very impactful on the defensive end. He's doing the little things, but he doesn't seem yet ready to take that next step as a scorer. And I think that you can look at individual examples. I just feel zero confidence at all that we're going to get the best team winning at the end of this year. I do not think that's going to be the case.
Who's the best team to you?
I honestly, like, if they were fully healthy, I'd pick the Lakers. Like, I think,
but that again, like, that's not fair though, because the best team always, like they're in 2015. I think the Cavs were the best team.
Yeah.
And well, injuries throw it off. Like, I don't think you can attribute, like, necessarily bubble stuff to the, or, you know, COVID stuff to this, where it's like, yeah, it's just not normal because the best team isn't going to win. Like, that happens more often than we want to admit.
It does.
General point.
And I wouldn't throw an asterisk on it. Like, I don't think that you should ever do that.
No, because... I don't think that's what you're doing. But, like, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, a meaningful evaluation and and kind of contextualizing this season moving forward, I think that, you know, ultimately the winner will have been, you know, I think the league is in a place where there's actually like 7 or 8 teams who could win the title. And
I agree.
It's not just because of health reasons. It's because of 1,000 weird reasons, where I really think the only health reason in real practice to me is the Lakers, with LeBron coming back and AD banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Nets don't win, I think you were of the opinion that they weren't going to win because of lack of continuity.
They are going to get steamrolled next round. I feel very confident.
Oh, we need a little side bet, my friend, because I think I have some friends who strongly believe in Nets in 5, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. I think a chase down side bet, that has not occurred in a while. We need to get one going here for sure.
Because I'm a big believer in the Nets in that series. But point is, if they don't win, I think there's a lot of good reasons for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the league is so top heavy as it's been, where you go, you know, no matter what, like, the team, there's 2 teams that can win. Like, I just think everyone is super flawed. Even the Lakers team healthy is super flawed.
Agreed.
So yeah. It's hard to know. I don't know, man. I just feel like, it's more, I feel like what happens this playoff is reflective of the state of the league, which is that there's so many teams that can win the title right now. And I think that would be the case in a normal year too.
I think that's a fair point. What I'm trying to get at more is, like, Suns-Lakers is a prime example. One of these teams is going to lose in the first round, and they are not a first-round-out team. This is a situation.
You're just evaluating it the way that you, like, if you choose to evaluate it that way, then that, I think you're right. So I don't really think we're arguing disparate points. We're just choosing to value different things.
Right. And even the Miami Heat, like, I think they kind of...
The way they approach
the end of the season, resting guys, trying to almost get Milwaukee in the playoffs, this might have been a totally different situation for them if they won 1 or 2 of those games and all of a sudden they're playing the New York Knicks. And then you beat the Knicks, potentially, and you play a Philly team that has Embiid hurt. Like, things could have opened up in a big way there for them. I still think they were a little... fraudulent. I don't think that this team is as good as last year's team. They did make a bet going in on Victor Oladipo, and that did not pay out off at
They're
all.
Pretty much the same team, though. Spare me this Jay Crowder stuff. Like if you like, Phoenix has watched Jay Crowder let them down the whole series. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like if the reason that your team
Kelly Olynyk, man, Kelly Olynyk could have been there to hurt somebody.
If your team was a legitimate finals contender because you had freaking Kelly Olynyk and Jay Crowder, and then you didn't anymore, then you weren't a real finals contender. I'm sorry. I just can't get there.
They also lost a Twitch streamer. Like, that hurt them.
Oh, well, you know, Jesus, man.
I might not be arguing in good faith now as I go through those names. Anyways, like, I just don't think they're as good of a team. Andre Iguodala is a year older. I just don't think they're as good. And the Tyler Hero factor is massive. Like, he was not a good player this year. Like, you look back at some of the conversations last year when Hero was ranked over Darius Garland in all the redrafts, and people would probably have him over Sexton, and now he's below both of them, I think, pretty comfortably. That's always really entertaining to me. But I don't know. I do feel like I never want to put an asterisk on any season, because every single season has context. I think we just become more aware of it, and it's entrenched in our brains, because anytime something happens in today's NBA, when the event happens, we have the instant reaction, we have the reaction to the reaction, and the reaction to the reaction's reaction. Like, it is out of freaking control all the time. Like, all of this gets shoved down our throats, and I think it muddies the water.
Can I interrupt you here?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the way I'm kind of perceiving these playoffs, which is Team A better than Team B? I'm treating it very granularly, one series at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not looking for the big picture here as much as I'm saying, do I think the Bucks are better than the Nets? Can they outplay them over a 7-game series? It's very, like, I feel like the narrower your lens, the actually the better. Like, you need the big picture of understanding that, like, results will be wonky because of how seeding happened. Mm-hmm. But at the you know, dribble the ball, shoot the ball, pass the ball level, it is good stuff to take in and learn. That is my point.
I mean, I think you're right. It certainly
you're
is
damn
entertaining.
Right, I'm right.
it certainly is entertaining. Like, I think the quality of the basketball, like, to me, it resembles what I grew up loving about basketball, more so than what we even saw in the regular season, where I think offense has gone a little out of control. I do like seeing that teams are able to shut each other's water off. Even like the Lakers Suns, like those games being 100-95 in that range, like that is exciting to me. Yeah, I like 100 being kind of the marker of whether or not you had a good game. I don't like 130 being the marker of whether or not you had a good game. Do you agree with my contention, though, that series is the Western Conference Finals, or are you high on Utah, they've been impressive. Like, they're getting shots up. They can score fairly consistently. Some of that might be the fact that they're playing Memphis, but my belief in them is up a little bit, but I'm still inclined to call them fraudulent.
It's interesting. I don't know about fraudulent. I think what's kind of neat about Utah here is I feel like Memphis was kind of the perfect warm-up series for them,
mm-hmm.
because Memphis does not go quietly into the night at any point. They fight and fight. And what's been really cool about watching Utah these last few games, because, you know, I don't think either of us are particularly huge Utah fans, though I love me some Mike Conley, and I always will. You know, I don't think that we've always been big believers in their kind of their contender status.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is that Memphis is making them knock them out. Like, they are Rocky against Apollo in the first fight, you know? Like, they won't go quietly in the night. But what's cool is that Utah is throwing haymakers back, and they're saying, we don't care that you're playing well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care that you're that you're working super hard. We don't care that you're cohesive. We are better than you. And and that is really cool to see, because, like, I always felt like they were kind of a team that just, like, you never felt them
mm-hmm.
historically. Like, I've never been like, oh man, this Utah team is inevitable. And they've been kind of inevitable in this series. I remember last year when Bogdanovich was out and everyone was making a big deal about it. I was like, okay, but is he really a playoff player? And I think this version of him is, especially when, you know, they're taking that, you know, that Pistons path where they have a nominal star in Mitchell, but really it's quite the ensemble effort over there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, losing a piece like that was really, really important. I think I underplayed it. But yeah, they're just imposing themselves in the late game against Memphis. Memphis knows they need three stops to get back in the game, and they go 0-for-3. Like, and that's really cool to me. And to your point, I don't know. I'm curious what you think about Utah before we kind of answer the West Finals question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you agree with my summary, or are you still like, you know, whatever, they're still the Jazz?
Well, when I say fraudulent, I say that because I just don't like them.
Yeah, it's being silly.
Yeah, it's being silly because I don't like them. Like, I do think they're a really good team. I just don't think they're going to win a championship. So that is the bar that I'm measuring them at. I mean, if I could have the Cavs be Utah for an extended period of time, I would take that. I would give up my firstborn child for that. But I think your points are more balanced and fair. The question I actually wanted to ask, though, is when you're describing, like, the effort that Memphis is putting up, when I'm right next season and the Cavs are in the playoffs, would you rather them have a series like this where they are a massive underdog, they put up a really good fight, they make the better team earn it? Or would you rather them be in a series like the Hawks-Knicks, where you're not playing as good of an opponent, but you probably have a little bit better of a chance to actually advance in the series? Let's say they're the Knicks, the underdog in that series, but not by a whole lot. What would you rather have? That the opportunity to advance around and probably get killed? Or would you like to be like OKC against the Lakers a few years ago? Obviously, the Cavs don't have a Kevin Durant, Westbrook, Harden type situation, but a team that's viewed as an up-and-coming team because of how they perform against a really high level talent.
I hate to be a bad co-host, but I'm not sure I care. As long as the team's playing well and like in acquitting themselves well in the postseason, like this one, I respect your admirable attempt to try to bring this talk back to the Cavs. But to me, it's like, you know, I just want them to outperform or perform well relative to expectations.
Okay.
And whatever road up the mountain that is, I don't care. Like if they win a series, awesome. If they end up the 8th seed and take a game off of Brooklyn and mm-hmm. Colin Sexton drops 50 or something, well, that's awesome too, because you're playing with house money at that point. And like, that's what we've been looking forward to the last several years, that first year where you go, oh, this team's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Damn. And like, that's what we haven't gotten to see yet. We had a few brief tastes of it this season. That's what I'm most interested in.
See, I wasn't even anticipating answering or asking that question, and then you kind of got me thinking, and that's why I went that direction.
I know.
I'm already banking on them being good next year. So for me, I'm already at like that level of what playoff matchup do we want? How do we want this to play out?
You gotta chill,
I'm not worrying about
be happy for a minute.
You're just hoping for normal. That's so boring. Come on.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Get your damn expectations up. So I'll get my
expectations up when it's time. I want to have a fun year, not a year where I'm mad that they're not a playoff team yet. If they're not,
let's circle back before we wrap this thing up. As we are going to do a shorter podcast when we aren't talking Cavs, because I mean we are a Cavs podcast. You seem pretty confident Brooklyn versus Milwaukee. I want our listeners to, one, reply to the podcast account on Twitter, Chase Down Pod, and give us suggestions for what this bet should be. But why are you so confident Brooklyn's going to be? Is it just the fact that they have those three guys?
Because they have three of the best four players in the series.
Ech.
And I think that their role players are better than people think. I think that Giannis won't guard KD.
Dude, Giannis averaged like 42 points a game against the...
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. I am interested to see how that changes in a postseason environment. I think when Brooklyn wasn't asleep at the wheel like they were in Game 3, they did played pretty good defense on Tatum and the Celtics. I just think their talent wins out. You know me, I'm a talent snob, man. Like, since when did we... Like, since when... Do the people on this podcast defer to try hard teams that have a talent deficit in the postseason? Like, those teams normally don't win.
What are you talking about? Like,
you really think the Bucks are more talented than the Nets?
I think the aggregate, yeah. Like, I think, especially when you factor in continuity. Like, I'm a continuity stomp. That's why when I'm talking about next season for the Cavs,
I think I want them to
get more reliable options. Like, these guys have played 15 games together, I believe. Like, they do not have the chemistry and continuity. Yeah,
James Harden doesn't have a lot of reps with KD over his career.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of reps letting KD down in the playoffs, too.
Oh, my God.
So, like, especially when there's Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis to defend those three, and Brooklyn can't defend them on the other end, and Milwaukee's actually showing, they're showing heart. Like, we talked about it before when I commented that I don't think Giannis can be a number one. The reason why I hedge that in my tweet is he can still become that. Like, LeBron was not that... even when he was in Miami, he hadn't fully reached that level until he was down against Boston and you got the stare and the switch flipped for him. That moment could happen in this postseason for Giannis. And like, that would be significant, because if that switch flips and he's really attacking the rim and he's being aggressive and he just takes over that series, that would change the calculus. Like, then
yeah, it would change the calculus, but the current calculus is that he hasn't done that yet.
He just did that against Miami. He just did that against a team that was his kryptonite. He just overcame that hurdle.
Can I just give the crux of my take?
Is that Jeff Green's going to lock down Giannis?
Of course not. Never. The crux of my take is that I don't think Miami is as good as everyone else thought they were. So while they're exercising their demons was obviously a very valuable mental exercise, I think that ultimately they were playing a team that isn't that talented.
Ugh.
So So they're going to play a team that's way more talented in the biggest parts that matter, which is at the top of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the fact that Brooklyn can score against good defense consistently is bananas. I feel like people underplay how easy it is for them to get good shots. Bryn Forbes, the one who completely flipped the series on his head,
yeah,
is going to get destroyed if he's out there. They targeted him like crazy in the regular season. So their role players are going to have to hit threes at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no Dante Hurts. No Dante.
And I feel like Dante Hurts too, because that does kind of, that takes away one extra defender that can allow Giannis to play help D. Like, yeah. I feel like Giannis has more of a burden to guard Kevin Durant than he did prior, because now you got to go with, you know, one of your other guard. You either, you know, put a weaker defender on Harden or Kyrie, and leave Middleton on Durant, or you just match Drew to Kyrie, Middleton to Harden, and Giannis to KD. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Bud really wants to do that.
Yeah. No, it's a valid point. Like, if I'm being honest, I'm more confident that the Cavs will make the playoffs and the Nets will steamroll, or the Bucks will steamroll the Nets.
It's funny that we both think the other team will steamroll. Like, I think it's, but I don't even think I'm
five
gonna,
or six
I'm,
games, buddy. Five or six
I'm gonna,
games.
I'm going to be annoying and six hedge is my generous. Own. I'm going to hedge my own take and be that annoying person. I don't think it's four ass kickings.
No.
I think this is going to be a hard fought series. I just think, you know, when it's not cutting time, Brooklyn's going to get buckets.
So I think the other element in this too is, as low as you are on Miami, Boston's worse. Boston is not going to
I am not factoring in the Boston series much beyond that they played okay defense when they were trying.
Right, but my point is that Brooklyn hasn't really been tested ever with
That's
the
fair.
Big three. They have absolutely no experience. Milwaukee has actually gone through some stuff. Yes, they have new parts, but like Drew Holiday has playoff experience. I just feel like it will test my basketball beliefs. It will test my basketball beliefs if Brooklyn beats them, because I think chemistry and continuity really matters on the stage. I would pick Brooklyn to win the championship next year when they've had experience, but this always takes time. Even the big three in Miami, it took time. Like,
I get it, man. But like, the way these are veteran players, and I think people just kind of underrate them. I think they underrate the star wattage of that trio relative to NBA history.
We need to ask Ty Windish what the strip clubs are like in Milwaukee, because that could be a
Either a good thing or a bad thing for James, but I do not imagine they're strong. But ultimately, like, I don't know, man. I just think, like, when I look, I think 20 years from now, we're telling our, well, I'll be telling my kids. You, of course, are not a breeder. You'll be telling your nieces and nephews about, they'll say, wait, the Nets had James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant all in their prime, and people didn't think they were going to win the title. Like, I just feel like they're the easy bet until they lose. Like, I do think I see the roadmap that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it is much less likely than them dropping 130 points a game when it matters.
You raise valid points. I'm in on
That's
this bet,
I'm
though.
I'm really, really smart.
I'm in on this bet, though. This definitely has to be a chase down wager.
Give us some stakes, listeners. Come on. Give
listeners,
us some stakes.
Please give us stakes. If you're on Twitter, at ChaseDownPod. If not, send us an email, chasedownpod@gmail.com. We will embrace this. We want a fun one. Don't make it too embarrassing.
Don't make it too... Yeah, anything that's going to piss my wife off, we're not doing.
I don't care about your wife. I don't want to piss off Cavs.
Well, yeah. But they don't care if I, like, shave a mustache or something like that. But my wife will leave me.
That's fair. Neither, honestly, especially the people watching on YouTube right now, you don't want to see either of us without facial hair. These are not defined faces. These are the faces of white podcasters, not models. Not models. So we will be back. I think Sunday we'll have more Cavs stuff to talk about, but this was so close to the last pod that we did, which was a lot of fun. Again, thank you so much to all our listeners that submitted the questions. I thought it was a lot of fun to go through that. If you have questions or wager suggestions, you can send that to the pod account. You can also send that to chasedownpod@gmail.com. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe, because it's the best way to help us show up in the algorithms. If you're listening via podcast, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Downs exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there, and until next time, go Cavs.